Welcome to Talos Takes, the quick take podcast where our researchers break down this week's hot topic in cybersecurity for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of Talos Takes, Work From Home Edition. I am joined by Azeem once again, who just joined me to talk about APTs. And today we are going to switch topics and talk about the dark web. Thanks for coming on again, Azeem.
Thank you for having me.
So I think when people hear the term dark web, they probably know that it's bad news. It sounds bad right off the bat. But other than it being like a place where bad actors hide and operate, what can you tell us about what that term dark web actually means?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And you're very right. It does have very nefarious connotations associated with it. For us, the dark web, if it was a physical place, it's obviously part of the internet. But if it was a physical place, it's one of those places that you would think of as an underground area where, as mentioned, nefarious activity can occur. The key to the dark web is it's not particularly easy to get to. And the basic Googling that a person has to do will not be able to find the things that you're looking for. What that means is there are certain procedures or certain steps that you have to take, whether it's finding a particular URL, finding a validation point where a person has to invite you in and validate that you're not a person that is trying to catch them. So law enforcement or yours truly, threat intelligence analysts. Because of that, the process takes some time and some skill. Now, it is impossible. The people that are hosting the dark web platforms, whether they are markets, forums, social media, engagements, the key to that is finding the balance of having users participate, yet providing restrictions that is hard for, the good guys to get into them. At the end of the day, they need people to be a part of that.
So what kind of information is available on these kinds of sites, since it sounds, pretty top secret to be able to get into?
So the information ranges. The primary motivation here on the dark web is usually financial motivation. And there's just people that are trying to go out there and make money. From what we see, the majority of the time is what that means is what it looks like is people are selling stolen information, whether it's through a cyber attack or other ways of obtaining that information through, insider threats, for example. They're selling that for $50 to thousands of dollars, depending on from several factors, whether it's never been seen before, whether it's a major organization, like a government organization or a major corporation. Based on those kind of factors, the price goes up. You can also find personally identifiable information or what we call PII for many folks. Many websites sell that for many reasons. You can also find credit card information, banking information, along with your common underground activities, including sales of drugs, all kinds of illicit activity related to crimes, including weapons, including human trafficking. And obviously, what's important for us here is cybersecurity oriented type tools and information that could be used in nefarious ways.
So you mentioned that it's difficult to get onto these sites, obviously, and the folks who are running these don't want people like you getting in there because then we're going to expose them and help take them down. So what are some ways that Talos stays on top of these dark web threats then, given those gatekeepers that are in place?
Talos' approach is probably one of the best that I've been a part of, and I've been doing this for just about 10 years. What we do is pretty multi-pronged. We leverage our services that are able to get into some of the dark web platforms, and without getting to me many of the details of how the sauce is made, we have strategic, I would say, capability that leverages very, very bright people that we have at Talos. And what I mean by bright people is they have a very deep set of skills, which includes language capability, cultural understanding, financial analysis background, criminal analysis background, which we can then leverage to mimic or kind of provide a very big another dimension, I would say, to get into some of these platforms. And by get into, I mean just be able to directly monitor them or obtain information that would not be available just from your basic open source skills. So the key to that answer is we have very, very smart people that are experts in what they do.
And what are some things that the listeners can do and the average user can do to keep their information off of these types of sites?
The basic answer is to practice all the basic security stuff that you hear about all the time. So, an example of that is not using the same password for all the things that you sign up for, which allows if it so in that case, if there's a breach, which the likelihood of that today is very, very common, likely, when you want to make sure your password is not going to be used against you once they realize you have so many other accounts on the web. Another practice is good practice is using two-factor authentication, not using the same email when you're signing up for all different things. Compartmentalizing email addresses is one of the good practices, again, because it will limit your exposure if there is a breach. Things like that, the very basic things will mitigate. Now, if you are aware that your information is on the dark web, you are advised to sign up for things like credit monitoring, any kind of services that you can use, because at that point, your information is out there and it could be used tomorrow or it could be used 2 years from now if you're not good about protecting yourself. So monitoring services that you could probably use that your bank provides most of the time for free, if you are fortunate enough to afford any kind of really, really robust services that monitor your credit history, your financial history, your bank history for any kind of suspicious activity, that would certainly help. The likelihood of your stuff being out there is very, very big at this point because we've been using the internet for several decades now, and the amount of people that are not practicing good internet hygiene just increases the amount of criminal activity that eventually forces that information to be on the dark web.
All right, well, thank you very much, Azim, for giving us insight into this complicated topic, but I appreciate you coming on once again.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and please join us for the next episode of Talos Takes, where we talk about something else that's top of mind for us.